We are about to go live from the Weaver Street Market annual meeting. We're here at the Carver Century Center getting ready for a live broadcast on Community Radio WCOM of the Weaver Street Market annual meeting.
The polls for board of directors close in 1 minute.
1 minute.
They're leaving the polls open for next year's Weaver Street Market Board of Directors for another 60 seconds here at the Weaver Street Market annual meeting, where we are getting ready for our live broadcast. The Century Center is about half full. They're serving an excellent meal from Weaver Street Market. A good food, pasta, a vegetarian lasagna, a nice salad, a tahini dressing. It's an outstanding dinner here at the annual meeting of the Weaver Street Market Co-op. Weaver Street started off in Carrboro. They've opened up another store in Southern Village, and they're opening up in Hillsborough soon. The moderator, Andy Sachs, is getting ready to start off the annual meeting right now, live on your community radio station, WCOM 103.5, Chapel Hill and Carrboro. This is Dave Bellin.
Okay, good evening, everybody. It's my my privilege to open the Weaver Street Market annual meeting. My name's Andy Sachs. I'm a co-op member. I've been asked to facilitate this meeting. And I thought we'd just start off right away finding out who's here. It's probably about the 40 people, so we probably shouldn't stand up each of us and tell our life stories and how we connect to the co-op movement and all that. Let's not do that. But let's instead just go by a show of hands. How many people here do their primary co-op shopping at the Carrboro store? Kind of raise your hand there. Look at that. Wow, a lot of Carrboro hands there. How about that Southern Village? Southern Village? Raise those hands high. Okay. How many people intend to do their primary shopping at the Hillsboro store when it opens? Okay. A high-spirited community. How many folks here are worker owners? Worker owners, hands up high. Okay. Spread around. How many people here are consumer owners? Okay. Great. How many people here are what we call potential owners? Potential owners. Got a few potential owners. Very good. How many folks are in their first year of ownership with Weaver Street Market? This is your first year. Okay, great. Welcome. How about you've been a member for 2 to 5 years? 2 to 5 years. Okay. 6 to 10 years, if you can remember. You know, something like that. 6 to 10 years. 11 to 15 years. Got any old timers there? Okay, 11 to 15 years. Greater than 15 years? Hands up for greater than 15. So 2, 3 of those. Wow. Let's give them a 4. Great. Great. Imagine how low their member numbers must be. Okay. How many folks, this your first time attending a Weaver Street Market annual meeting? First time attending an annual meeting. Wow, most people. That's interesting. And how many folks have already voted in the board of directors election? Okay. Very good, because as you know, the polls are closed. I don't know if you've been warned of that or not. How many folks here have ever volunteered at Weaver Street Market? Volunteered some time there. Okay. So I want to take this opportunity to note that there one additional volunteer opportunity is to help with the 20th anniversary celebration, which is going to come in June 21st, 2008. So there's a sort of sign-up sheet for people who are just interested in doing things, and you can say what you're interested in doing, or if you're not sure what that involves, put your name down and maybe some contact information, and someone from the co-op will get in touch with you. It's going to be a big deal, and it's coming, June 2008. How many folks are currently board members of Weaver Street Market? Why don't you, if you would, each stand up so we can see who you are and where you are. And if you wouldn't mind just telling us what your names are. She'll shout out loud. I have a mic, but you don't. And maybe we can start way over there. And if you have a special designation on the board, let us know about that.
C. Seth Elliott, a worker owner, is here. Robert Short, a consumer owner. Ruffin Slater, the general manager, is here. Linda Spear, consumer board member. And Ken Morgan, a consumer board member. And Jacob Myers,
very
the board
thank
chair,
you, board
who
members.
Works at the store, is also here tonight. Andy Sachs is moderating, and here he goes again.
So what does a facilitator do? It's my job just to keep you moving forward, help you achieve the desired outcomes of this meeting, help you use your time well. When we have discussions, help you have a conversation in an effective way with 40 people. If we could advance the slide to desired outcomes. In order to help you achieve the objectives of this meeting, I just want to make sure we're all here for the same purposes. We're hoping by gathering you together today, by gathering us all together today, we'd achieve these things. I hope we're on our way to achieving a satisfying meal and a good time. We have balloons. We're hoping also that the owners, you, will be able to learn and ask questions about your co-op, that we'll be able to come away with ideas for celebrating co-op's 20th anniversary, which if I haven't mentioned it yet, it will be in June 2008, that we'll get some people to volunteer to help with that celebration, and then also that we'll have some ideas for making a positive impact through the co-op in the next 20 years. So those are the things we're hoping to achieve tonight. Any questions about those as objectives for tonight's annual meeting? Is that a set of objectives you're all willing to strive for tonight? Anybody not want to? Okay, well, then I think we have consensus for what we're about to do. Let's advance that. Helping you use your time well, it's a little after 7:05 facilitator time. As soon as we're done with these preliminaries, we'll get right into a couple of presentations. Board Chair wants to say a few words about what the board is doing. The General Manager will say a few words. And following each of those presentations, you'll have a chance to ask questions and say whatever's on your mind in reaction to those to those presentations. After those presentations, we're going to go into small group discussions, and I'm going to tease you a little bit and not reveal yet what we're going to do in those discussions, but I hope it'll help us achieve those desired outcomes. So we're going to have some small group table discussions. Each table will have a board member, be able to have some back and forth, and then we'll hear the highlights of those conversations. We'll then come back together at 8:30 and have a ceremony whereby the four organizations that are going to be receiving co-op community grant funds will be honored and recognized. 8:45, I know you're all at the edge of your chairs to find out who won the elections, so those will be announced. We'll have the raffle results, so do you have to be here to win the raffle? You do. Okay, so you have to be here for that, so you'll be here for that. And then we'll do a quick wrap-up. We're going to be evaluating the meeting at the wrap-up also, so be taking notes on what's working well and what we should do different next time we get together in an annual meeting. And then we adjourn at 9 o'clock or sooner if we're incredibly efficient. Any questions about the agenda? Okay. One last thing, 40 or 50 people trying to have a meeting together, just some gentle reminders about what works when we get together. We did begin on time. We're going to really strive to adjourn on time. When we have full group discussions, if we could really just try to make sure we only have one person speaking at a time so we can hear that person. The rest of us will listen attentively, try to eliminate the kinds of distractions that sometimes undermine somebody trying to communicate with a larger group. If you have the floor, please stick to the agreed upon tasks and topics, whatever it is that we're supposed to be talking about. Let's focus our attention on that. Share the floor so that everybody who's here has an opportunity to participate, and certainly it's okay to disagree. It's what makes the co-op movement and any group of a bunch of people interesting. It's certainly okay to disagree, but as you do that, please do that respectfully. Let us set a ground rules that will work for you all. Thank you. It'll work for her. Anybody else? Yes. Okay. Anybody not? Okay.
Two last things, and then we're going to jump into the substance of the meeting. One is, I don't have any authority to do this at all. They just invited me to come into the meeting and facilitate. So I'd like your explicit permission. If I think we're losing sight of the purposes of the meeting, if we're getting off the agenda, if we're forgetting the ground rules, may I point that out to each and every one of you if I do it in a respectful way? Is there anyone who would not like me to do that for them? Okay, so I think I have your permission to do that. The other thing is, we want this meeting to work, and I want to do a good job. So if anything is off during the meeting, don't just sit and stew. Raise your hand and point it out. If I give an instruction and you don't understand it, or if things are going too quickly, or if things are dragging too slow, let us know so that we can at least understand how we're off and if we can make adjustments and corrections and get back on track. We'll do that. Will you let us know if things are off? I know you will. Okay, very good. Well, all the preliminaries are done. I believe the bathrooms are here. That's sort of a thing people like to know. Aside from that, I guess we're ready to jump in unless there's anything else as far as the fundamentals. Okay, well, the very next item on the agenda is what? Board report. So Jacob Myers will come up and give a presentation from the board, and when he's done, we'll have a chance for some back and forth with him.
We are live from the Century Center.
Good evening, everyone. I want to start by thanking everyone for coming. It's actually a really good turnout, I believe more than we had last year, and especially considering it's what I used to refer to as a school night. Last year we did meet on a Sunday, so thank you everyone for being here. It occurs to me that maybe I should speak after Ruffin, because he's going to talk about all of the great successes over the last year, and all I want to talk about is challenges. But I'm going to go ahead and get into the challenges. It has been a good year, as Ruffin will tell you all about, but it's been a year with a lot of change, a lot of growth in the co-op. That's led to a lot of questions, and I fielded a lot of questions from ownership along the lines of, what does it mean that Weaver Street Market is a co-op? Is it really different from other business organizations? That led me to consult the very definition of a co-op. This comes from the International Cooperative Alliance definition of a co-op. A cooperative is an autonomous association of persons united voluntarily to meet their common economic, social, and cultural needs and aspirations through a jointly owned and democratically controlled enterprise. I'm going to come back to that in a couple minutes and break that down a little bit. But further, the International Cooperative Alliance identifies 10 values that they believe all co-ops should reflect. Those 10 values are member self-help, member self-responsibility, democracy, equality, equity, solidarity, honestness, openness, social responsibility, and a concern for others in the community. Now, when I go back to the definition that I read a minute ago, I identify four key parts of that definition. The first is, the co-op is an association of persons. Weaver Street Market is not a grocery store. Weaver Street Market is not a delivery truck. Weaver Street Market is not a band playing on the lawn. Weaver Street Market is an association of persons. That's the persons here in this room. That's all of you all. You all are Weaver Street Market, and that's why we get together once a year and more often when we can to talk about what we want to get out of the co-op and out of our voluntary association. The second part of that definition is, why do we have the co-op? We have it to meet our economic, social, cultural needs and aspirations. The third part of the definition that strikes me is that co-ops are jointly owned. We all own equal shares of the co-op, and we all fund the co-op through that participation. Finally, of course, co-ops are democratically controlled enterprises, and that's why we all voted before 7 p.m. Polls are closed. You might say, what does this have to do with the board? And why are we here tonight? What does this have to do with our purpose tonight? Well, a central part of the board's work is to identify the purposes of the co-op, the goals of the co-op, specifically what are those needs and aspirations. And when we do this group activity a little bit later, that's really what the board wants to get out of the group activity is, who are the owners and what do they want to get from the co-op? Why are we voluntarily associated together? So, that's why we're here tonight, and I'd be happy to take any questions that people might have about why the board is here and what we want to hear from you all, and then I'll let Ruffin take other questions that have to do with the annual report that he's going to present.
So, we're here live.
Well, if anyone wants to see me throughout the rest of the meeting, too, I'd be happy to talk to them about the board's role in the organization.
Live at the Weaver Street Market on Community Radio 103.5 FM.
Well, the challenges have to do with the growth of the organization and how the organization can meet the community needs. I'm sure you all know that we're in the process of expanding, and that's led to questions like, how does Weaver Street Market fit into the community? What's the place of the co-op in the community?
Ruffin Slater, General Manager of the Co-op, is about to come to the stand here live on Community Radio.
I'd like to spend the next part of the meeting talking about our results from last year and some of our plans for the future. As Jacob said, we're pleased to report that we had a successful year last year, and in the terms that we measure success, which is the financial, social, and environmental impact that we have on our community. We experienced healthy sales growth last year in all of our locations. As a result of our remodel in our Southern Village store, sales there grew 16%. Sales in our Carrboro store grew 10%. And in Panzanella Restaurant, sales grew 7%. We achieved a net profit of approximately $360,000, which is about 2 cents on every dollar that we sold, and compares favorably with the previous year when the net profit was $138,000. The number of community members that are owners of Weaver Street Market grew during the year. We now have 11,765 consumer owner household, which is about an 8% growth from the previous year. And the number of worker owners grew from 82 to 90 over the year, which is about a 10% growth. One of the great things, one of the benefits of the co-op structure is that when the co-op's successfully financially, we can return that money to our owners. And over the last year, we returned about $400,000 to our consumer owners in discounts at the cash register. And if you compare that to the total share investment of the consumer owners, which is slightly over $1 million, that would equate to about a 39% return on investment. The worker owners receive a patronage dividend based on the number of hours worked during the previous year. That amounted to a little bit over $150,000, or about a dollar per hour for every hour worked by worker owners during the year. If you compare that to the aggregate worker owner investment, that was about a 37% return on investment. Our co-op business model helps build the local economy. Last year we passed $20 million in sales, which is $20 million that went into the co-op economy rather than the traditional economy. And based on the amount of money that we receive that's spent locally, we had approximately a $12 million local economic impact last year. Another way we measure our contribution to the local economy is through the amount that we purchased from local producers, which last year was over $2 million. And supporting local producers not only means how much we buy from them, but our efforts to try and connect our consumers with the people that produce our food. That's the reason that we have co-sponsor the farm tour every April. That's the reasons that we have the local dinners at Panzanella restaurants, where we feature a menu based on the food from a particular local farm. Our community events are another way we contribute to our social bottom line. Last year we sponsored 194 community events, or an average of about 4 per week. We also contributed to our economic, our environmental bottom line through our continued purchase of green energy. We purchase about 10% of our energy from renewable sources, and we also recycle about 14 different waste streams. We spent a lot of time over the last year planning environmental features into our new food house and our Hillsboro store. The food house will use waste heat in a couple different ways. Waste heat from the refrigeration system will be used for heating hot water, and waste heat from the oven will go into an absorption chiller, which will be used for air conditioning. We also have an innovative refrigeration system that's based on a mixture of glycol and water, which limits the amount of global warming producing freon type substances that have to be used. Other features of the food house include adjustable lighting that's based on the skylight, so the light level is automatically adjusted when it's needed. Foam insulation in between 12-inch walls to help minimize the need for heating and cooling. Variable speed hoods that sense if there's cooking happening and adjust accordingly. And cisterns that collect and recycle water for other uses. And our Hillsboro store will also use waste heat from the refrigeration system to heat hot water. And we have an innovative water reuse system where water from sinks is used to flush toilets, and there's also a large cistern under the parking lot that will collect rainwater for use in irrigation. So all in all, it was a successful year in the terms that we define success, our financial, social, and environmental bottom lines. Our triple bottom line approach was recognized last fall by the Foundation for a Sustainable Community, which awarded us the first Sustainable Business of the Year award for Chapel Hill and Carrboro. It was also recognized in our consumer owner survey that we did this summer of over 1,000 consumer owners who rated us an 8.5 on a 10-point scale in terms of accomplishing our mission of a vibrant, sustainable commercial center. So when we look to the future, we're fortunate to have many things working well. However, there's one important trend that I think that we all need to be aware of, which is the popularization of natural and organic foods. 20 years ago when Weaver Street Market opened, we were the only place that sold natural and organic foods in Chapel Hill or Carrboro. Now, many of those foods are available at all the local stores, and this fall we're going to have two new competitors entering the market that specialize in natural foods, Trader Joe's in Eastgate Shopping Center and Fresh Market across from Glen Lennox. And on the one hand, that's the popularization of natural and organic foods is terrific news. And I think we have a lot to be proud of as food co-ops and natural food stores that we've had an impact on the larger grocery industry. However, there's one part of it that is an issue, and that is as bigger and bigger businesses get into natural and organic foods, the emphasis becomes primarily on how to lower the prices, which means some of the same things that we have in the traditional food system, such as reliance on factory farms, sourcing from overseas like China, and lobbying the government to try and reduce the organic standards to the lowest denominator. And so some of the food that you buy at the other stores that are now offering may be labeled organic, but it's not authentic food. And we really see our role moving forward, just as our role 20 years ago was to offer something that didn't exist in the community, natural and organic foods, to be the pioneers in bringing authentic food. And authentic food means products from small farms that embody the spirit of organic farming rather than factory farms that just do the minimum to get by. Authentic food means products from local producers who contribute to a sustainable food system, retain artisan techniques, and allow family farmers to stay in business. Authentic food means fair trade, fair payments to farmers, in the developing world that grow things that can only be grown in a warm climate, such as coffee. And authentic food means products from our own kitchen and bakery, where we use high-quality ingredients, we can maximize quality and freshness, and where we can control the packaging process. A cornerstone of our strategy to provide authentic food is our new food house, our expanded kitchen, bakery, warehouse, and office facility that's going to open this winter in West Hillsboro. On a basic level, the food house is going to provide us with needed space, space that we need to keep the current products that we produce in stock and to meet the needs of the coming Hillsboro store. But the food house is much more than needed space to meet production needs. It'll be designed for better sanitation and better control of product temperature, which will improve food quality and food safety. It will allow us to add many locally produced deli, bakery, and meat items. The food house will include a warehouse, which will give us the capability to buy directly from additional local producers. And equally important, the food house will allow us to control packaging. And in this 20th year, I think one of the most important issues that we face, environmental issues, is the rampant use of food packaging. And one of the original concepts of co-ops was to buy food in bulk and try and limit food packaging. And since 20 or 25 years ago when I worked at the Durham Food Co-op, I've been hoping we can devise a system to use returnable food containers. And I think the food house is going to give us the capability. We're exploring the concept of packaging product in glass containers, having deposits just like the Maple View milk bottles, bring the containers back to the store. We would have the room and the facilities to have a washing line to wash and sanitize and repack those things in the food house. We're also looking at things like selling pies with pie tins that could be returned for deposit. So the food house opens up lots of opportunities for us to do things that we're not now able to do to promote authentic food. For staff like me who's moving to the food house, the food house will provide some enhancements in terms of workspace, sufficient work and storage space, skylighting, daylighting windows for a view, ample air conditioning and fresh air exchange. And having a more efficient facility will allow us to pay staff better. All hourly staff moving to the food house will receive a $1 per hour raise in addition to an annual pay increase that averages 6%. The food house also creates challenges for staff that are going to move their workplace. We're aware of these challenges and we're trying to do things to ameliorate them, such as a van pool, subsidized carpool, higher wage and other transition assistance. In addition to the food production facility, the food house is also going to be the home of our administrative offices, which will give us needed space to improve our support services to our stores and restaurants at a very affordable occupancy cost. Our other big project in the coming year is opening our new store in Hillsboro. And if you've driven through downtown Hillsboro recently, you've noted that the shell of the building is virtually complete. Our projected opening is in spring 2008. The community support has been outstanding in Hillsboro. We're very thankful for all the new owners that are here at the meeting tonight, along with the hundreds that aren't at the meeting tonight. We've raised over $400,000 in owner loans to help start the Hillsboro store. Our goal is $600,000, so we're still interested in additional owner loans, so please see me if you have interest or know of people that do. For people that haven't been to downtown Hillsboro, the store is located right on Churton Street, immediately to the left as you cross the Eno River. It's going to have the same orientation of the Carborough store, facing south with a small lawn and dining space on the south side of the store. The store is also part of a unique partnership that includes a new county library and new county office space, so it's sort of a cluster that's going to help add to the vibrancy of downtown Hillsboro. It's also the first facility that we're going to own instead of rent. We're able to purchase the first floor of a what's a three-story building with offices above us, using an advantageous financing package that includes federal tax credits. So the feds are helping us buy our Hillsboro store. We're very happy about that. Moving the kitchen and bakery out of the Carrboro store is going to allow us to expand the retail space, and we're also planning to add on to the Carrboro store. We'll use the expansion as an opportunity to completely remodel the Carrboro store. We plan to create better flow, relieve congestion, add more checkout lines, and increase cafe space. And the biggest benefit will be to substantially increase our product offerings in Carrboro, both authentic food choices and other convenience items that people currently need to go elsewhere to purchase. In closing, I would just like to mention that we've been recognized by Yes Magazine.
Robin Slater, board manager.
In the fall issue of Yes Magazine, they recognized 7 businesses across the country that were sort of alternative economic models. And in the article reads, "Restraining corporate power requires changing the way we think about business. This means changing who owns, controls, and benefits from it. Profits, for instance, can flow to workers, consumers, or the community, not just outside investors." And we have complimentary copies of the fall issue that we're going to give everybody on the way out, so you can read the rest of the article. So congratulations on being part of one of the 7 best alternative businesses in the country. Without the investment of our consumer and worker owners and your continued patronage, participation, and commitment, we wouldn't be here where we are today. Weaver Street Market is a co-op of people coming together to realize our hopes and dreams for our community, our economy, and our environment. 20 years ago, we couldn't have imagined where we are today. And I look forward to hearing your ideas and suggestions in the next part of the meeting tonight about what we should accomplish in the next 20 years. Thank you.
This is Dave Bellin with Kirby Zeman and Engineering live. The Weaver Street Market Annual Meeting live at the Century Center. Questions now from the audience. Andy Meyer. An early co-op consumer member is asking a question now. In general, he's very happy with the Weaver Street Market. Enjoys the daytime ambiance at the market, sitting around. And he is asking of one concern. That regards sanitation at the store. We are at the market regularly getting a 90% evaluation from the health department, and he wonders why the evaluations are coming in at that level and what plans are to improve the sanitation at the Carrboro store to improve it from 90%.
I think that that's an excellent point. We're very concerned about that issue too. I think that there's a few different ways we're planning to address it. One is in the opening of the food house. We're planning a facility from scratch with attention to all of those issues that the County Health Department is looking at. So having a purpose-built facility for the bulk of our food production is one thing we're working on. A second thing that we're going to do is when I mentioned remodeling the Carrboro store, because some of the reasons that we're rated down is based on that we have old equipment that doesn't function as well as it should. And the third thing that we're doing is we've instituted some new checklist systems. So we're basically self-monitoring the types of things that the health inspector looks at where they come, and we just looked at it. Our management team meeting this week, we just looked at a checklist that we're starting to use in Panzanella restaurant daily, and we're going to create that same type of checklist that we're going to use in the Carrboro store and in the Southern Village store. So those are the three things that we're working on to improve. But yeah, I mean, we're not proud of that. It should be 100 all the time, and that's what we feel is appropriate.
Another question here at the Weaver Street Market annual meeting. The next question is also about cleanliness at the Carrboro store regarding the exterior being, in her view, a little too dirty, and whether there could be any more cleanliness on the exterior of the store. Questioner is also asking why children are allowed to wander around so liberally in the parking lots, and is asking Ruffin Slater to answer her question on that as well. Another one on cleanliness, and children running around in the carts.
Concerns, we agree with those too. I was just noticing that myself about the sidewalk in front of the store. In fact, we do wash the sidewalk frequently. The problem is now that it's so stained, basically it doesn't come clean. And I think what we need to do is actually just refinish the sidewalk, find a paint or some kind of finish that we can basically start all over again and keep that clean. And I think that your point about the checkout counter, Alice, the store manager, is, I'm sure, hearing that right now and noting that. And we'll be on top of that. And the shopping carts, I'm not as sure about the steps with that one, because I imagine we have lots of customers and owners who value the ability to have their children sit in this. Right. Mm-hmm. So we hear that one, and I'm not sure exactly what the solution is, but we can look into that one.
Participant suggesting perhaps there might be wipes made available so that parents can clean up after messy children in the carts. And Ruffin Slater is nodding his head quite a bit, and seems like that might be something that the store would like to look forwards to. Another question from the audience. Tom Arnell from WCOM asking a question about the offices moving to Hillsboro, and asking how the business will remain Carrboro based with so many headquarters operations moving to Hillsboro.
In terms of the customer interaction with the Carrboro store, I think that the location of the support offices, like, for example, where I work at this point in the co-op, I don't spend a lot of time on the floor of the Carrboro store. I do spend some time there. I spend some time in the Hillsboro store. And I think that the idea of the support offices will be to provide good support to all three of our stores. And so we're going to be very focused on providing good support to the Carrboro store, as well as the Southern Village store and the Hillsboro store. And one of the barriers to doing that now is that we're just so cramped in our space, we just lose a lot of time. We're just not very effective. So our hope is that actually by having adequate facilities and better systems, that we can actually provide better support to the Carborough store than we're providing now.
Another audience question coming in now, asking about the relationships with the landlord at the Carmel Mall.
Generally, we're on good speaking terms. You know, one of the most exciting things about owning the Hillsborough store is that we wouldn't have a landlord. You know, that the thing about the Carmel Mall, it's owned by a limited partnership in Maryland. I think it's a fairly profitable enterprise, and that's, you know, they're business people. They're interested in making money, and they have an on-site manager who they give some prerogatives to, but in general, you know, they keep them pretty focused on things that make money. They have a sort of traditional vision of what a shopping center is, and it's kind of like when their shopping center buddies come to the shopping center, they like it to be kind of like, you know, orderly and certain things, which it's really not. And so we wish they had more appreciation for the uniqueness of it. And I think that over time they have recognized that you know, Weaver Street actually brings people to the shopping center, that we're a positive contributor. You know, we try and check in with them regularly, you know, and keep lines of communication open. But, you know, their interests are not the same as our interest. In Southern Village, the landlords are local people, and they are much more interested. And so I think our interests line up a lot more closely there.
Question is asking about any constraints in Carborough. The answer, yes.
The question was, are there particular constraints that our landlord in Carborough put on us? Yeah, I mean, basically is that anything that we want to do with the outside use of the space, they want to have the final say in that. So when we schedule events for the season, we have to check in with them, and they have to approve that we can put on these events, which they're generally willing to do now. We have a pretty good system of doing that, but they also like to keep that as leverage. You know, for anything that happens, they are always saying, well, remember that we have to, et cetera.
Question from somebody running for the board, Ms. DeBose, saying there will be many opportunities with the new food house, but she would like to hear plans about what food prep will be done at the Carborough store on an ongoing basis. Is there going to be any bakery at all in the Carborough store? Seeing if there could be the way to have any fresh pastries in the Carborough store in the morning. Question two, talking about what future communications would open up with the consumer owners. Asking if there's any potential that there would be a close down of the volunteer opportunities.
I think the first question, if I understand it, had to do with the food house. How would that affect, or how could we maintain the quality and freshness of food in the store? So I'll repeat the second question after the first question. I think our goal and my belief is that we can do this, is that we can maintain and in some cases improve the quality of food. And some of the reason I have confidence is that in our consumer owner survey that I mentioned earlier, we surveyed people about the quality of food in baked and prepared foods in Southern Village store and in the Carrboro store, and the rankings were virtually identical. And so I think we've shown by making food in Carrboro and moving it to Southern Village that, you know, the half hour of transport time doesn't have to have a negative impact on the food quality. But it is our utmost goal to maintain and improve food quality, because obviously that's what it's all about. The second question had to do with the volunteer program, which for those of you who don't know exactly how that works, we have a program now where there's certain sort of tasks that consumer owners do in the store approximately 3 hours a week that you get a discount for. And we have a goal over the course of the year that we're in now, sort of between now and next summer, of looking at that program, particularly the specific tasks that volunteers do, and make sure that they line up with various government regulations. And the idea is to keep the structure of the volunteer program, but it may be that the specific tasks have to change. And so right now what we're doing is basically we're not taking new volunteers in some jobs that we think we might not be able to justify in the future, just as the first step of a transition program. We haven't actually changed anything, but we've just stopped taking people in those jobs as a first step, and we've been looking at what the next steps are. And I think that the next steps are working on understanding more just about what the opportunities are. And then once we do that, have a dialogue with all the owners, but particularly with the existing volunteers, about what current opportunities, what the new opportunities are. And once we get that sorted out, to aggressively promote the volunteer program again, making sure that there's a good fit between what we're offering and the legal constraints that have to do with that. Yes, there will be.
Another owner member coming up with a question, saying that she thinks the Carrboro store is wonderful. Many, many people come by there. She meets people and she really enjoys it. And that all the other businesses in the area that are trying to compete are imitators of the Weaver Street Market, that they're not authentic and they're trying to copy the Weaver Street Market model. She thinks it's not just the volume of business, it's that Weaver Street creates community, and that's what the other stores are trying to emulate as well as they can. This is again a special live broadcast on WCOM Community Radio of the 2007 Weaver Street Market annual meeting.
And moving right along. What day is today? What month, date, year? No, it is not. I'd like you to imagine that today is June 21st, 2028. June 21st, 2028. It's been 40 years since the founding of Weaver Street Market. Some of us are not even 40 years old here today. But it's been 40 years since the founding of Weaver Street Market. 20 years since the 20th anniversary celebration that the co-op held on June 21st, 2008. Which, by the way, you can sign up for if you want to, if you have ideas, on the flip chart back there. I'm 69 years old. How old are you? Just shout out how old you are. Okay, still? All right. How old are you on June 21st, 2028? 52, 78, 97, 91. Well, I hope we're all here. Let's look back on the last 20 years. Let's look back on the last 20 years and acknowledge what we've accomplished together. Let's look at those questions. What's happened in the community as a result of the co-op's activities and continued presence? What are some of the most important initiatives and activities that the co-op has undertaken over these past 20 years? Who's benefited from the co-op's presence, and how have they benefited? Matter of fact, I'd like you to close your eyes, if you would. Just close your eyes and think about these questions while I repeat them. Who's benefited from the co-op's presence, and how? What's happened in this community as a result of our co-op's activities and continued presence? What are some of the most important initiatives and activities that the co-op has undertaken over these past 20 years? Now please open your eyes and get ready to talk to each other. We're going to ask you to gather around in six tables because we have six members of the board of directors here. Everyone gets a board member, divide and conquer. We'll be sitting in six tables. There are markers at the tables and paper. You can sketch something if you need to, or make lists, or record ideas that you might otherwise forget. There'll be a board member there, but their role is just to sit there and listen. Maybe they'll take some notes for future board consideration, but they're there to help the group have this discussion. And in the end, what we're going to ask is for somebody at your table, but not the board member, to give a brief 3-minute report as if it was 2028, looking back at the previous 20 years and what answers you have to those questions. So let's keep the questions posted up, if we can. Have the questions posted up there. And let's see where the board members are so we can gather around them. I see Seth is sitting over there. And Seth can kind of stand up and wave your hand wildly. So let's try to get a group of people there.
This is a special live broadcast on WCOM Community Radio of the Weaver Street Market Annual Meeting. This is a key time in the transition for the Weaver Street Market. They are building a building up in Hillsborough, moving the major food preparation operations up to Hillsborough. That generated some controversy this year at the market. There are competitors, as Ruffin stated, moving into the Weaver Street Market area. Other stores are opening. And there's the friction between locally produced produce, organic produce, on small farms, small production, and mass market, mass production factory farms, and even in some cases, according to Ruffin Slater, importation from overseas of organic products competing with some of the products at the Weaver Street Market. So there's a lot to discuss. We're reaching close to the 8 o'clock hour here at Community Radio. This is Dave Bellin doing the live broadcast along with Kirby Zeman. We would like to thank you, our listeners, for supporting Community Radio. We're another co-op. In fact, our website is communityradio.coop, C-O-O-P, where you can make a secure financial contribution. We want, need, and value your support here at Community Radio. This is quite a stimulating meeting. There are people gathered around six tables discussing some of the major issues of the day as we go on. And we're sure that productive things are going to come out of this discussion. Also, the Weaver Street Market gives grants to community organizations. And this year, they've given support to the Hall River Assembly, the Chestnut Ridge Co-op, the NC Rural Communities, and the Northside Community Gardens all received grants from the Weaver Street Market Co-op, and that's quite an achievement. They had a great meal tonight. They had ice cream supplied by Maple View Farms. They've got, say, about 60 people in attendance here at the annual meeting. Andy Sachs is always doing a great job facilitating the meeting. Again, we'd like to thank you for listening to this broadcast, for supporting local community radio and local community foods. We're going to turn it back over to the studio now, and we're going to thank again Kirby Zeman in Engineering. This is Dave Bellin over here with a live broadcast, first ever live broadcast of the Weaver Street Market annual meeting. And we want to remind you, and Weaver Street certainly sells it, remember, no matter what you do for the next week, please be sure to eat some tofu. And now back to the studio